We say good afternoon to Eric Smith. Hey, E, how are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good. All right, Eric, if I would have told you in, I don't know, September, we had this conversation, I go, here's the pecking order of most important Raptors. Colin DeMar, interchangeable. Number three is Fred VanVleet. You would have called me crazy, right?
Yeah. I wasn't even certain that Fred VanVleet was part of the rotation when when training camp ended, let alone when you know, training camp started. And that's not to say that he had a bad training camp or even a bad preseason. I just felt that when the move was made, you know, sending Corey Joseph to Indiana and CJ Miles coming back in the trade and, you know, signing him to that deal, I felt, as I think pretty much everybody did, that the keys to the backup role were handed to DeLon Wright. And Fred VanVleet was going to see some minutes as a depth guard, but, you know, wasn't necessarily going to be a part of the, you know, of the main rotation overall, because I didn't think Dwayne Casey, knowing what we thought we knew about Dwayne Casey, normally, traditionally, liking to keep a relatively tight rotation of, you know, he'd love to go eight, but he'll maybe stretch it out to nine sometimes. He'll certainly never go 10 or 11. There's simply not going to be any opportunity or any time for Fred VanVleet. And then, of course, we're all proven wrong in that Dwayne Casey, under the new philosophy, the new style, the new system, does go deeper into the bench, does rely on the second unit that much more, does rely on cutting down minutes for his all-stars and spreading the wealth across the board and going 10, 11, 12 deep on most nights. And suddenly now there's a role for VanVleet. And as the season develops and then very early on, DeLon Wright gets hurt, VanVleet's thrust into that backup role as the primary guy for 15, 20 games or so. He flourishes. He earns himself time in the rotation even when Wright's healthy. And all of a sudden he becomes, you know, the number one guy in the team in terms of fourth quarter minutes over the course of the regular season, and becomes such a calming influence on both ends of the floor. Dwayne Casey said to me yesterday, guys, they've missed VanVleet's maturity. And you're talking about a second-year player. Yeah. And that's the first thing that came out of Casey's mouth was maturity. He's one of the best three-point shooters on the team. He's one of the best defenders. And I'll tell you, this is all setting up. I don't mean to be the negative guy, but this is all setting up for a very interesting offseason, whenever that may come, in terms of trying to keep Fred VanVleet and not seeing him go elsewhere, because he's going to make himself a lot of money, and hopefully it's with the Raptors, but Toronto doesn't have a ton of wiggle room financially, so it's going to be interesting to see how Raptors management plays this out and works this, because they certainly don't want to lose him.
Eric, so much has been made about this culture reset and stylistic reset by the Raptors. But when did you, I mean, you're a close-up observer of this team, so I think this is a great question for you. When did you actually see it take root? When did you think, yep, this is a different team?
Yeah, I think maybe about 6 weeks roughly into the season, Brian, and I'm saying that roughly based on the early part of the schedule for the Raptors. There were a ton of road games early on, and both of the West Coast trips coming before the new year. Before Christmas, even for that matter. So about 6, maybe 8 weeks tops. By the flip of the calendar, when you started realizing, okay, you know what, this new approach, this new idea with DeMar and Kyle not playing heavy minutes, with both of them down almost 5 minutes or more per game based on their averages. Seeing Kyle Lowry approaching, you know, the All-Star game and wondering, is he going to have the numbers to get in? Are people going to recognize how good he still is and how much of an impact he's still having when his scoring per game is down 5-6 points versus last year? When I started seeing all that and said to myself, all right, hold on a second, but they're still winning, and Kyle's still impacting winning, and DeMar's still getting his, but suddenly his assist totals are going up, and what's happening over here, as I said, with VanVleet stepping into this backup role with DeLon Wright injured, and all of a sudden Valanciunas is starting to look a little bit better here, and he's even playing better on the defensive end. And okay, Serge Ibaka isn't necessarily, you know, being that third guy every night, but it doesn't have to be him. Man, am I seeing something here with Siakam and Poeltl actually as this 1-2 punch in the second unit with their athleticism and getting out in the open floor and the run? This seems like this is kind of the norm now. And by the time the calendar flipped, I truly believed that it couldn't have been a fluke anymore, because you were 30 games into the season. You're almost at the halfway point. You know, once you've established that, that's now habit. That's not fluke. That's habit. And I think it just became, you know, kind of the Raptors' calling card, and it certainly was for a 59-win season. And all the people that look down and say talent-wise, you know, star talent-wise or name, quote-unquote, talent, maybe the Raptors don't have the same as other clubs in the league. But as cliche as it does sound, they are a better team as a collective unit than I think a lot of clubs are.
Eric, obviously, I don't think talent, the way the Raptors played down the stretch here, and we hear all the and how things are difficult for the Wizards. I was surprised the series went six myself. I think the Raptors could have taken care of business earlier on this series, but it is what it is now. You're looking ahead to a potential matchup with either the Cavs or the Pacers. LeBron never been to a seventh game in round one. Obviously, I think you can only play who you're in front of, and I think a lot of Raptor fans would want to see the Indiana Pacers, but I'm on the side that I want them to play Cleveland, Eric. I want them to finally get past LeBron. I want them to bury this narrative that they can't win a big playoff series. Are you on board with me? Hopefully LeBron and the Cavs pull it out so they can finally slay this dragon once and for all.
I think it'd be fantastic if the Raptors ultimately do. I'm sure there will still be somebody somewhere out there that even if Cleveland wins and they end up playing the Raptors, there'll be some. I guarantee, whether it's on my Twitter feed or someone in the U.S. National, somebody's going to say, yeah, but LeBron went to seven games and he was that much more tired, and Indiana really was the one to beat up Cleveland, making them easy pickings for the Raptors. There's always going to be some sort of a narrative that spins it where Toronto didn't take care of business. So, quite honestly, I don't want to sound cliche to you, George. I don't care who they play. Because, you know what, the same narrative will be if Indiana wins and then Toronto faces the Pacers. Either Toronto loses to Indy and, wow, they can't even beat the Indiana Pacers. I thought it was just LeBron James who was their kryptonite. But if they get the Pacers and they actually beat Indy, well, yeah, they beat Indy, but, you know, they didn't have to deal with LeBron James. The Pacers did their dirty work for them and made the, you know, the path easier. So we'll never know how good Toronto really was. I mean, come on. If you have to play whoever is in front of you and prove that your season wasn't a fluke, prove that your season wasn't a waste. And it was DeRozan that said to me right at the beginning of the playoffs that it's championship or bust for this team. And I even believe, just watching this team and looking at the personnel, that making it back to the conference finals is a successful season, in my eyes. Certainly making the NBA finals is beyond success for this team. But if DeRozan is setting the bar and inside the locker room is setting the bar saying championship or bust, then you know what? We got to go by that. You, me, Brian, everybody's got to go by. If this team doesn't go to, let alone win a championship, this season was not successful.
You know, Eric, when he said that, and I remember him the first time I heard that come out of his mouth, every other season before this that I've watched this team, I'm like, good team when they've had good teams. Good team, there's no way in hell these guys could win a championship. However, you look at this team, you think, really good team. And yeah, I can imagine them winning an NBA championship. I've never had that feeling about the Raptors before. And conversely, I don't think they've ever had that feeling about themselves before, but they do seem to believe that. Just the way they react to the way they lose and the way they win, you see that they have a bigger goal out there. And that is something we've never seen with this team before.
You know, Brian, I'll tell you, that very conversation I had last night with a couple of members of the media, some of our fellow broadcasters and whatnot, when we were chatting after the ball game, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think that there's a belief, right, wrong, or otherwise, that this could happen this year. Not that you're expecting it to happen. Not that the Raptors are the best team in the NBA. Heck, maybe they're not even the best team in the East, in spite of the fact that the record says that they were. But do you believe that they could actually beat Cleveland? Do you believe that they could go through to a conference championship to win to advance to the finals? And then you get to the finals? Heck, if you've got anybody other than Houston, you got home court advantage. Yeah. Do you believe that you could press the right buttons and beat Houston again four games like you did twice in the regular season? Do you believe you could press the right buttons and beat Golden State in a seven-game series? I'm not expecting it. I'm being honest. I'm not expecting it. But do I believe that it could happen more so than any season before, any year ever before? The short answer is yes.
Without question.
Think with their balance, yeah, with their unselfishness, with the way that they can turn it up on both ends of the floor, with the way that they can kind of, you know, morph into various styles, half court or you know, running and kind of pushing the pace a little bit, with their 3-point shooting, they can beat you in so many different ways, and they've proven that, well, they can be beat in so many different ways. And that kind of is the scary thing, both pro and con, when you're looking at a team that some nights you're not sure what you're going to get. And again, I say that runs hot and cold. So I believe that they could do it. And I don't know if I truly believe over the last 4 years, as good as they were, that they could actually hoist the championship. And, that, you know, it's possible. Again, I keep saying, not sure I'm expecting it, but I would say at the very least, it's possible.
No doubt.
He is the radio voice of the Toronto Raptors, sideline reporter for Sportsnet, Eric Smith. E, always a pleasure. Hopefully you're on your way to Cleveland or Indiana. Well, it's going to be either or, but hopefully it is Cleveland. Because I want LeBron. Thanks for doing this, E.
Enjoy the ride, guys, man. Thanks.